Amos said, I'm not a prophet or son of a prophet. This last week, I was in Florida, and I never go to Florida this time of year without wondering why anybody lives up here. And I get back and see our church, and I wonder why anybody lives in Florida. But I was in Florida, and I made a statement while I was preaching. By the way, let me say a word to the ushers. I'd like for us not to have folks coming in. We might have carloads of people coming in during the service tonight. It might be wise if you just be sure if crowds come in, just don't let them in. We better not do that. We might be in somewhat of a problem. And I want the folks to hear the message and keep our attention on what we need tonight. So I made the statement. I said, right now, while I'm preaching, it must be about 10 o'clock in the morning, I said, some of our people, numbers of our people, are out soul winning. And someone asked, well, is this your soul winning morning? I said, no. Visitation day? I said, no. But some of our people are out soul winning. They said, how do you know? I said, there's never any time of the day but what some of our people are out soul winning. Precious, I want to show you something now, and I'll be making some reference to you, but I want to show you something right now. One reason I'm glad that the pastors come in from all over America. I go all over the country telling folks about my people, and I get all the credit. How's this church? And so forth. No, not true at all. This church is a church that has been built with the Spirit of God, as the people have had a mind to do God's work. Now, I'm going to just tell you about, I want to show you something that I think will be a revolution to you tonight. Revolution? Revelation. Treason. I'm not sure. But anyway, this will be a revelation to you tonight, I think. I want everybody here tonight who has won someone to Christ in the last 7 days since last Sunday. I want you to raise your hand, please. You've won someone to Christ in the last 7 days. This is just our people now. Won someone to Christ in the last 7 days. All right, look around you. Oh, stand up. I want to see you. Stand up. All you folks that have won someone to Christ in the last 7 days. Now, there's not a church in the world that I'd just put these folks against anybody. Remain standing. How many of you have made a visit in the last 7 days? Would you stand, please, with... You've been visiting in the last 7 days. Would you stand, please, with these? Now, there's our visitation program, you see. Thank you very much. You can be seated. I wanted you to see that. Last night, for example, did you know that our kids won over 500 people to Jesus Christ out on teenage soul winning last night? Well, I was in Florida. I made that statement and went back to my room. And I got, by the way, enjoy this. I don't get in a loving mood real often, but enjoy this. One of our deacons of the night, I preached on heaven. And up in the dressing room, the deacon said, he said, what's that place you preached about tonight? I said, heaven. He said, what? I said, heaven. He said, that's some new place? Never heard about it before. He said, I've heard about hell ever since you've been here. But I got thinking about our people in the motel room. I got to loving you. I got to riding up down the streets of this city and thinking about you and thanking God for all of our people. Then I thought about the scripture, and I thought about all the lay people in the Bible. So I got me a piece of paper and a pencil and just listed every layman I could find in the Bible. Every one. And I came to find out that we preachers are not so hot after all. I found out that 'tis the layman that God gives the preacher. And I'll declare, if I didn't just all again fall in love with my people and thank God for you. We've worked. Our people have worked. God bless these dear people who've worked day and night. And I was thanking God for our people. And I got thinking about the great men of the Bible. Kids on the front now, you'll be very still now, although the house is preaching. I thought about the great men of the Bible. Abraham, what a man. What a man. Abraham, who left the Ur of the Chaldees and had no place to go, left his kindred, left his homeland to seek for a city which had foundations, whose builder and ruler is God. But you know one reason Abraham was what he was? Don't you recall that faithful servant God gave him? Eliezer. Eliezer said, I don't speak about myself. I speak about my master. And I got to thinking about Abraham, all that Abraham did, and yet the faithful servant that stood beside the man of God. I got thinking how you folks have stood beside this preacher. I won't point anybody out tonight, but there's a fella in the choir. Almost 12 years ago now. When I first came, well, I came 13 years ago this August, but about 12 years ago now, we were in the battle. The battle was heavy and the heat was hot. And a lot of folks said to me, they got a petition out to get rid of me. A lot of folks didn't like me. Can you feature that? I can understand that. Saved my life. Nice guy like I am. But never against anything. I mean, I'm for Red China, for communism, for modernism, for the devil, and everything, you know. But anyway, they didn't like me, and so they decided to get rid of me. And there's a man in the choir right now whose father was an officer in the church. And the father felt like, and he's a good man, by the way, not a bad man at all, a good man, but he couldn't stay in the church. But the son said, I'm going to stay. And the father and son were divided over Brother Hiles. I got thinking about the loyalty of the servants whom God has given me. We have two deacons. The same story could be said about both of those deacons, loyal and faithful. I got thinking about we have a fellow here tonight. I think he's here tonight. Let's see, where is he? Won't call his name. But anyway, we were having graduation, commencement for our high school last year on a weeknight, Friday night, was it? A man parked wrongly in our parking lot. He didn't come here, and is blocking our parking lot. And so one of our men asked him if he would please to move his car and park it right. And the fellow said a few choice words against First Baptist Church, and our man got out of the car. Said, "I wish you wouldn't talk like that about my church." And he said, "Well, that blankety blank Hiles, that did it. That did it." Our fellow popped him right in the nose. I mean, right in the nose. He was a holy kisser, right in the nose. But I had to go to the hospital. Now, I don't think you all have done that, but since he did it, I enjoyed it. And I wouldn't suggest you pop folks in the nose. I think the stomach might hurt most if you did. But that's what makes the First Baptist Church in Hammond, but your nose poppers. That's what does the job here. I was thinking about This one man in our church out on the job. A fellow cursed me on the job, and one of our men said, "Okay, now I can't think about it here on the job." But he said, "If I see you outside, I'm going to beat the fire out of you." And he said, "Just be sure I never see you, young people. I never see you outside because I'm going to beat the fire out of you." And I've been praying ever since that fellow find him outside. Now, I'm not saying that you ought to hit a fellow because it could, but I'll tell you what I am. I do appreciate the loyalty of people like that. And so Abraham, great man of God, but Abraham had a servant. I love Moses. I think Moses is the greatest person that ever lived on the face of the earth apart from Jesus Christ and Robert Billings. But I think Moses is the greatest man who ever lived. Did you know that Moses led the Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years and they didn't get a pair of shoes? Not one of them. Can you imagine? Over a million ladies didn't get a pair of shoes for 40 years and Moses kept peace with that crowd. Can you feature that? Great man. Moses, a politician. Moses, a leader. Moses, a statesman. Moses, a general. Moses, a preacher. Moses, a courageous man of God. Moses, a prophet. Moses, who led the Israelites across the Red Sea. Moses, who led them through the wilderness. Moses, the great man of the law. Moses, the man of the tabernacle. And I got thinking, what a man. But Moses had some helpers. Laban, if you please. Don't you remember when Moses got on the rock, Aaron got on one side and Hur got on the other? And when they lifted up the hands of the man of God, the battle was won. And when the hands were let down, the battle was lost. And ladies and gentlemen, say what you want to say. Somebody says, "Well, Dr. Hiles has done great work." You ought to see Dr. Hiles' work when the people of God don't hold up their hands. I remember 1 year ago tonight, I preached a hot sermon. I mean a tough one. You wouldn't even have known it was me. This sermon tonight, old brother, but I preached a hot one 1 year ago tonight. And some folks, in fact, if you recall, a fellow back here jumped up and hollered at me. Back here in the corner, I preached on rock music, and a fellow jumped up and he hollered and said something and stomped out. I walked out. I go down an alley after the service and back to my office, and I walked out, and there were some men back in the shadows. I looked, and there were seven or eight of our deacons, and they were back in the shadows. They didn't know I saw them, but they walked behind me as I walked down the alley. To protect me. Anytime I preach a pretty hot sermon, you'll find, fellas, if you will, you'll find four or five of my men back here taking care of the preacher, you know. And what? Now, I'm saying that, okay, great Moses, but somebody to hold his hands. Thank God for these people who held my hand for these 13 years. And I thought about Gideon. Gideon had his 300. Saul, the Bible says when Saul was anointed king, he went to Gibeah. And the Bible says that Saul went forth to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. I got thinking about Ezra. Ezra, the great man of God who led the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem, but he had a layman. Layman's name was Nehemiah, who labored beside him. I thought about David, who had his mighty men. When David came to die, he lifted his mighty men. He told about one fellow who fought for David so hard that his hand played with the sword, and you couldn't even unpry his hand from around the sword. Once you recall the story when David was dying, he told about those three men. David said, one day I was in a cave overlooking Bethlehem. And David looked down and he saw the beloved city. David was from that area. And David, there's a well down there called the Well of Bethlehem. And David used to stop and get a drink of water down out of that well. One day David was looking down from the well. And between David and that well was the entire Philistine army. The enemies were there. Enemy was there, encamped. And David looked down and he thought out loud. And David said, you know, I can recall when I was a kid down there. I used to play in Bethlehem, outside the city, and used to stop at that well down there. Can you recall, when we were kids, huh? Remember how I used to go down to the creek and go, huh? Or stop at a hydrant outside somebody's house and turn it on and drink out of your muddy, dirty hands and play ball with? Well, David said, I'd love to drink out of that well again. I recall when I was a kid down there, used to play cowboy and Indians, excuse me, Jews and Arabs. Used to play Jews and Arabs down there when I was a kid. And by the way, they're still playing that game over there, too. Tonight. But David said, they play down there. And he said, boy, I recall those old days. Man alive, what those days were. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to have another drink of water out of that old well down there. I used to drink up from when I was a kid. Three of David's men heard it. One of them said, the other two said, let's go get him a drink of water. I'm sure one of them said, well, there's only one little obstacle. That's the whole Philistine army. It's between us and that well. And the other one said, you heard what he said. He wants a drink of water, and he wants a drink of water from that well. And those three mighty men of David fought their way through the Philistine army to get David a drink of water. They had water, but David wanted water from that well. I've always thought, young girls in the front, you watch me while I'm preaching. And I've always thought it was funny. Those fellas fighting their way through the entire Philistine army to get a drink of water for David. But the funniest thing is I'm coming back, holding the water in one hand and fighting with the other, trying to get back. And but David said, I want some water. You know, that's what you preachers, that's what we have here at First Baptist Church. You know when I bought my last stitch of clothing? 1959. I bought my last stitch of clothing. I have not purchased a garment since 1959, unless somebody gave me a gift certificate, and I bought it. I gave away one of the two suits I had, nice enough to wear to church, the day after I came to work at First Baptist Church. And my dear people have given me, I've got more clothes than I know what to do with. I've got gift certificates I just haven't got enough bodies to take care of all the suits I have. And, why? God's faithful people. Listen, this is true. Honestly, if I said tonight, I want a Cadillac, a new one, my folks would get me a Cadillac. Amen? I want a Cadillac, a new one. Okay, now you wait till tomorrow morning. It'll be there. But you do it, and I'll shoot every one of you. I don't want a Cadillac. I got all I want. But it doesn't matter what I want. I recall Bill McKeegan, one of our fine deacons years ago, passed away not long ago. One day I came to church and Bill had a tie tack on here. It said Bill, written here. And I said, man, I like that. That's cute. That's Bill. That's his name right there, Bill. I said, oh, I like that. And he went back that day and came back the night. He had looked all over town to find one that said Jack on it. And he had it for me. Anything I want. It doesn't matter what I want. That's what makes the church.
I mean, David, Saul went forth to give you the word of him abandoned in, whose heart God has touched, and the thing that's made this great church, God's people, the lay people, doing their jobs and doing what the pastor does, and staying on the field and getting the job done for God, and just keep on going and keep on working. And
listen, this morning, for example, that wasn't something we just cooked up for the pastors. That's a typical Sunday morning. The First Baptist Church, you know why? The folks work all the time. I thought about our Lord. Even our Lord had 12 laymen at the time they were who went with him. The Apostle Paul, the great Paul, list name after name after name of lay people that God had given him. For example, Philemon, who had a church in his house, and Luke, who was his doctor. I thought about Luke, doctor. Where's Dr. Streeter? You hear the name? He's probably doctoring somebody. But, I got sick the other day. Man, I was sick as a horse. I had the flu. I didn't have the Asian flu. I had the Vietnam flu. I had the Red China flu. And, it's the kind that Cho and Lao started. And I was sick as a horse. And I said, they drive me over to see Dr. Streeter. And they drove me, and I grunted and groaned and cried and died and counted my beads and did all of this all the way over there. And Dr. Streeter, just took care of me, and I felt better when I got back, and so forth. And I thought, hey, isn't it wonderful? Luke, Dr. Paul had Luke, now I've got Dr. Streeter. And God has been good. Paul said I had onesiphorus. A lot of folks call it onesiphorus, but it's onesiphorus. And he was a fellow, Paul said, I was in jail. He came and visited me, and I was refreshed by him. And then there was Epaphroditus, who brought him things while he was in prison. And there was Aquila, who let him stay in his house and laid down his own life for a neck for his life. And there was Crispus, who let him use his house to start a church right next door to the synagogue. And on and on. You wouldn't have any Apostle Pauls if you didn't have any Aquilas, and if you didn't have any Onesiphorus, and didn't have any Epaphroditus. Paul's friends sound like my friends, Ruskowski and George and Bluski. And Paul and I had the same type names on our church roll. But Paul had help. The New Testament church, they chose 7 men full of the Holy Spirit and of good report. And among those men, Philip the soul winner. You know, a deacon preaching. Can you picture that? Our deacons preach. Ed Rouse, chairman of our board, he preaches. One of our men today, layman today, came and said, Pastor, can I borrow 20 song books? I'm going out to preach at the county jail this afternoon or somewhere. I forget what it was. But anyway, we had 3 deacons in the jail. I wanted to go out and visit them and preach to them. And there they go out preaching. And it's not unusual at all for our deacons to preach at the rescue mission or preach somewhere. What? Because they're men like Stephen and like Philip. I thought about John, the beloved John, wonderful, great man of God. He wrote and said, Gaius, who was the friendly fellow. And Gaius was the fellow who made the visitors feel welcome. And I was thinking about this. This is a wonderful story. One Sunday morning, about 10 years ago, we had an auditorium over here. Next door, it's burned since then. And we had an auditorium there. And one day, a couple came, a little short fellow. About 5'6", I guess, 5'6" or 7", about the size, I don't know you, 5'7". I don't mean with stilts on and padding in your shoes, about your size came, and he didn't look like he had anything much, just an ordinary little poor-looking guy, just like this, and he came, he and his wife visited, and one of our ladies, she's here tonight, one of our dear ladies, walked up after the service, this visitor, never seen him in her life, she said, where are you from? And they told her. And she said, well, you're away from home. Where are you going to eat lunch? And they said, well, we don't have a place to eat. She said, won't you come and eat with me? Stranger. The lady's here right now. She didn't know it. But that fella has invested over $400,000 in this church. And his name is the last name of the new college we're building.
How did we make contact with that man? One lady
in our church said, won't you come over to eat? He was so impressed.
And that's the kind of folks that John had, Gaius. And then there was Diotrephes.
Hang Diotrephes. He's one of the bad ones. That was Demetrius.
He said he has a good report. Boy, I swell with pride for my people. When I talk to somebody and they say, I work with one of your men.
And I would say, oh,
oh, what about him? And boy, they said, boy, there's something different about that guy.
I just clap my hands and throw out my chest and say, praise the Lord. Or if they say he's a fanatic, I rejoice just as much.
Just as much. And that's what makes the First Baptist Church of Hammond tick. At the high school when they have their dances, our kids are supposed to dance. And I get good reports and rejoice when our kids, I get reports back and teachers say, your kids won't cooperate.
And I say, bless the Lord. God pity you preachers whose kids do the boll weevil wiggle and the dish rag twist at school.
I rejoice. I don't ask God for a popular church. I ask God for a faithful church and a separate church and a clean church and a church that's true to what we preach behind this pulpit and a church that stands wherever they go.
Paul said, John said about Demetrius, he has a good report. I got thinking about the early church, and I noticed in the early church, it doesn't say they all perform miracles. It doesn't say they all cast out devils. It doesn't say they all preached or all prophesied, but it says they were all in one place. Faithful people.
And with one accord,
people that were one.
And they all gave and bought their possessions and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they were all scattered abroad, witnessing, getting people saved.
That's the secret of it. People ask me across the country, Dr. House, what is the great secret of First Baptist Church in Hammond? I was on the television down in Florida last week, and at one of these talk shows, and I was on for about 45, 50 minutes, and a fellow said, what do you think is the secret to the First Baptist Church in Hammond? And I said, this is it. The layman believes it's his job to do what the pastor does. In other words, the layman goes soul winning, and the layman wins folks to Christ, and the layman spreads the gospel. And that's the great secret. You want to see First Baptist Church? Come on a Sunday morning. Go to the little building next door and see some people working with the retarded children,
doing Sunday school and doing preaching
over there with those little retarded boys and girls, and many of them unable to control themselves and not even toilet trained. Many of those little people they're 12 and 13 years old, and yet their minds are not mature, and they're retarded, and they work with them and stay for preaching too. Stay over there in the preaching hour, and then you have over there 70-year-old men sometimes and 50-year-old men singing. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. Climbed up in the. You'll see them this week. And those people stay over there Sunday morning during Sunday school and during the preaching hour and never get to come to church on Sunday morning staying by the stuff and doing their jobs and doing them well. Laymen, if you please, doing the job for God. You want to see First Baptist Church? You see this morning all the bus workers stand. Would you please, all the bus workers, would you stand? Thank you, folks. Be seated. This morning, see these folks getting up at daybreak. And see them going out, sometimes it's 10 and 20 below zero, getting in their cars at daybreak, if there were a daybreak here. See them getting in their cars and leaving early in the morning and leaving the house by 7 and 7:30 and going trying to get the little bus started, 1917 model. And get it started and take off trying to picking up little boys and girls and people that couldn't come to church otherwise and all morning picking them up. And in many cases, I've heard of our people going to the house and actually dressing little children and getting them ready to come to church in the house of God and loving the kids and bringing them. And then they stay for morning Sunday school and the morning preaching and then leave and go home and go take the kids back and then put the bus back. And in many cases, it's 4 and 5 o'clock in the afternoon before these godly people get back home. That's the day off. That's Sunday. That's the day they ought to watch the ball game. That's the day they ought to be driving the family around for a trip. That's the day they ought to be at home resting. That's the day to read the newspaper. That's the only day to rest. And yet these people give up their day off and drive and work and praise and work for God and pray for little kids and try to help people that nobody loves and nobody cares about. And thank God for people like that's the First Baptist Church of Hammond. You want to see First Baptist Church of Hammond? Look at these kids over here. Look, not a group of teenagers in the world anywhere near these kids over here. Last night, 125 to 150 of them out soul winning and go up down the streets. You know what, Dave? You were telling me a while ago that one group talked to six people, and on the street, just stopped on the streets. And the first six people they stopped on the streets said, "Say, fella, do you know if you died you'd go to heaven?" I mean, at random, just stopped on. They just stopped down there on the streets, on Saturday night the streets of our town are clearer than they've ever been. Nobody gets out in heaven on Saturday night. Our kids are getting at them and win them. And the kids got. And last night, one group of kids went out, and they stopped the fellow on the street and said, "You know, if you died, you'd go to heaven." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I was walking down the street a few weeks ago, and some kids stopped me and wanted me to Jesus. And yeah, I'm saved." But the second person on the street said, "You saved? You go to heaven if you die?" I said, "Yep, I got saved on one Saturday night. Some kids stopped me on the street and won me." Was the third person, and the fourth, and the fifth, and the sixth, and they had to make seven contacts before they could find anybody. It hadn't been won by our kids already. That's New Testament Christianity. That's what it's all about. That's what the Bible's all about. You preachers that on Sunday morning, you get up and the Lord is in His holy temple, and all the earth keep silence before Him. Amen, 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 amen. Why don't you get that garbage, old-fashioned New Testament soul winning? Good night, the world's going to hell while you're playing church. I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, you're paying your $20 to get what we're going to give you this week, not what you like. Fella, one preacher said that it's not long ago, I was in Sister State, and the fella said, fella here in town hates you. Well, that's as far as I know, if somebody in every town hates me. And I said, "What did you do? Pastor of a church hates you." I said, "Does he know me?" He said, "You better know he knows you. Comes to your pastor school every year." You know, when a fellow's dying, he don't mind hating the doctor that makes him well. You know that? And in God's name, the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be scattered everywhere. And these kids have gotten the idea of what New Testament Christianity is all about. One of my deacons said this morning, I think he's a deacon. He's not, he ought to be, and he's not, he's going to be, probably. He said, "Pastor, I drove one of the groups last night," and said, my group won 40 to Jesus. And I called him off, and I said, "Look, tell me something. How'd the kids behave?" He said, "You wouldn't believe it." He said, "Pastor," he said, "they'd stop a gang of kids on the street that were just really throwing a fit and having a big, loud time." And he said, "Our kids would walk over." And he said, like a magic spell over that gang, he said, in just a few minutes, all that in the crowd was as quiet as if they were in church on Sunday. And he said, the kids told them about Jesus. I mean, these kids over here, just a bunch of ragamuffin kids, ugly, dirty ducklings, that's all. And yet they go, why? They've got the idea what it's all about. That's what makes the First Baptist Church in Hammond. It's not a few funny stories Dr. Hiles tells, or a few little quips he gives, or pounding the pulpit, or beating on the pulpit, or screaming and hollering. And one of the deacons today, I said, you know, I'll get some way to make a living besides having to work this hard. And he said, you could try hog calling. Or you could be a barker at the county fair. What else was it? Williams, what else was it you said? I forget what it was, but it's not the humor of Hiles. It's not the beating the pulpit. No, it's not a dynamic personality. It is God's people who believe that we ought to live in the book of Acts instead of this 20th century dead kind of Christianity. And so they go out. You want to see First Baptist Church of Hammond? You walked down the hall of the office in the night last the hallway of the office building in the night last week and see our staff members working till 11 and 12 o'clock at night. I know. I leave many a night at this office after I've worked until 11:30, and I leave. I say goodbye to some folks that are still working. And I'll get back in the morning Oh, I have an appointment every morning at 7:40 with one of our fellows, and I get back, and they're back again, some of them back again. That's First Baptist Church at Hammond, lay people that have a mind to work, people of God that believe this is God's business. You want to see First Baptist Church in Hammond? You'll see these folks that work with the deaf people back here. Maxine Jeffries right now is interpreting in the sign language what I'm saying. And we have deaf Sunday school classes on Sunday morning, and these people work with these dear deaf people. That's the First Baptist Church. Want to see First Baptist Church in Hammond? See our over 400 Sunday school teachers and departmental superintendents who do their jobs and teach and prepare and work and build their classes and build their departments, having a mind to do God's work. I was being interviewed the other day. Could I be a little nasty for a minute? I don't want to be nasty. I'm in a good mood tonight, and I'm afraid to tell this story. I'll be mean before I get through. But I was in a certain place not long ago, and it wasn't. I was in a place, and a Southern Baptist fella, and I have all respect for anybody that believes the Bible. I don't care if you're Southern Baptist, Northern Baptist, Northeastern Baptist, South, Southwestern Baptist, regular Baptist, irregular Baptist, conservative Baptist, radical Baptist. If you read the Bible and love God, I'm for you. But anyway, the fella said, "How does it feel, Dr. Hiles, to be a part of the Sprinter Party?" He said, "Not to be in the mainstream of Baptist work." I said, "What do you mean?" Well, he said, "Independent Baptist." He said, "You know, you're not in the mainstream." "I ain't no stream. I'm in the river, brother." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, to be sort of, you know, with a little group." I said, "Well, just for your information," I said, "the largest church in Sunday school in Florida is Independent Baptist." I said, "The largest Sunday school in Georgia is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in South Carolina is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in North Carolina is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Virginia is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Maine is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Ohio is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Michigan is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Indiana is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Illinois is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Kansas is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Missouri is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in Colorado is Independent Baptist. Largest Sunday school in California is Independent Baptist." And I said, 19 states have the largest Sunday schools Independent Baptist. And I said, "How does it feel to be a part, my brother, of the Sprinter group?" Well, the honest, simple truth is, you know when churches are getting the job done, the mainline denominations are dying. You know why? Because they're not living in the Book of Acts. That's why. But there are some churches, thank God, of all denominations, getting the idea. Out of the West Coast, there's a Church of God out there, on fire for God. And out to the same area, there's Independent Church, a Bible kind of church, on fire for God. And all across this country, they're doing it. It can be done. If the man of God stands behind the pulpit and tells the people of God, it's their business to get the job done for God as well as it is his. I don't think I'm asking my folks to do anything for me when I say go to work for God. Why? It's not my work, it's God's work. Want to see First Baptist Church in Hammond? You see the music folks as they labor. You see our deacons last night. God bless these men. 90 deacons. 90! We used to have a little girl in the church that loved First Baptist. Her dad was a doctor, and she loved First Baptist. She said, "You know why I love First Baptist?" And her dad said, "Why?" And she said, "Because I like it because the pastor stands behind the pulpit and all the demons sit down in the front." I'll be honest with you, brethren. I don't have any demons. I don't have any demons. I've got 90 men who love their preacher. I've said before that if I got up here tonight, and this is true now, if I said, "God has spoken to my heart, we're going to be Episcopalians from now on," Ed Ralph, the chairman of my board, would get up and say, "Okay, Rector, anything you say." Now, if I said God has spoken, you want to see First Baptist Church, you see these men. They're not chosen because they're rich. If they were, we sure could. They're not chosen because they have education. They're not chosen because they're men of renown. They're not chosen because they're men who lead the neighborhood. They're chosen because they're filled with the Spirit of God and have a compassion for the souls of men, the work of God. Man walked down this aisle right here, stood at this altar. He said to me, I want to join the church. I said, are you saved? He said, don't know, but I want to join the church. I said, why do you want to join? He said, because I'm manager of a big company, a big store here in town, and they told me I should join the biggest church in town, the one that had the most influence. And I said, go back to your seat. You won't buy yourself into this church, my brother. And our deacons are men that have not walked their way on the board. They're faithful, loyal men who love God, and many of them, these bus workers I mentioned a while ago. You want to see First Baptist Church? You go across the street over here on Sunday morning and see those dear workers over there teaching the Word of God in the Spanish language so the folks who can't understand proper English can hear the gospel. Five or six classes over there being taught in the Spanish language. You want to see the First Baptist Church, you go to the junior church services where the folks work and go up in the PA room where these men work and go to the ushers and the nursery workers even now taking care of our little babies. And First Baptist Church, you want to see it? You go tomorrow morning down to the grade school. Don't do it. We haven't got time for you. But the grade school and see those teachers who give their lives. Maybe all of them could make twice what they're making. But they give their lives for our boys and girls. Go out to Hammond Baptist High School and see those people out there investing their lives at half salary for the work of God. That's the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Oh, I've said it so often, it ain't the individual or the army as a whole, but the everlasting teamwork of every blooming soul. That's what gets the job done for God. How are you doing about your job? How about your Sunday school class teacher? How about the job you've got at soul winning, kids? How about the job you've got your Sunday school class? How about the job God has given you on the deacon board? How about the job you've got on the staff? Are you doing your best? That's the great secret. Do our best for God. These are no days to play. Charlie Hand was on our staff for 8 years. When I first met him, he was an alcoholic, and I won him to Christ. It wasn't long until he was called to preach and went off to pastor church. He came back and resigned the church, came back to the church in Garland, Texas, where I pastored for a while. He came to my house one day and he said, Pastor, he said, I'm going to be to you what I want people to be to me. He said, I've been a pastor now. I know what a pastor wants. He said, I'm going to try to be to you what a pastor, what I'd want people to be to me. He'd bring me ice cream. I'm not a big ice cream lover, but I can learn about anything. It's free. And he'd bring me ice cream. And every time he'd go out with his family and get a milkshake, he'd bring one by. Now, good night, don't bring me milkshakes by my house. I haven't got time. But I mean, I'm simply saying that he tried to be to me what he wanted people to be to him. You know what I'd be if I had a pastor? And I wish I did. I'd be faithful. I'd be faithful. Every time the doors were open, I'd be there. You know what else I'd be? I'd do my job. I'd do my job. I'd say to my pastor, you can count on me. I'll do my job. I'll be there. If company comes in on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, they can come with me to Sunday school or stay home alone. I'll be at my class and I'll do my job. I'll be faithful. I'll be at deacons meeting. God pity you deacons that lay home and watch television on Saturday night. We're having deacons meeting here trying to get the work of God done. Get with it! Tonight, this is God's business. If I had a pastor, I'd do my job. If I had a pastor, I'd pray for him many times a day. Many times a day. You don't know where your pastor is. Maybe he's trying to hold the head of someone who's looking in the face of someone that was as dear as life to whom they've had to say goodbye. Or maybe some child, young person's in his office, sold their lives for a few moments of pleasure. Maybe the pastor's trying to reclaim a life that's been broken. Or maybe he's flying somewhere. The other night, I think I said this. The other night I was on an airplane. It was 4 o'clock in the morning, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. And nobody on the airplane, this is really a situation. Three men in the cockpit, four stewardesses, and me. What a life! No joke. Four stewardesses, pilot, co-pilot, the other guy up there, and me. And so they came on, the pilot said, we welcome our passenger aboard. I'm going, so
And the steward, one steward came on, and she said, "Sir, would you please fasten your safety belt?"
Only fell on the plane. You talk about service. I really got it. But anyway, the stewardesses, they went to sleep. And the pilot and the co-pilot, all of them were asleep but me.
And
they went to sleep. But anyway, we hit some bad weather, and I was bouncing over the sky, and I was so tired. I had preached in four different states and four different days and slept in four different beds, and I was weary. I got to thinking, I wonder if anybody, of course, nobody knows where I am. Nobody in the world tonight knows where I am. Nobody. And then it dawned on me. I bet you I've got some men on the job working the night shift that are praying for me right now. I was out in Japan preaching. I preached in the morning, and after I finished preaching, Russell Anderson and I went back and sat on the back row. Dr. John Rice was preaching. I looked at my watch, and I began to cry. And Russell looked over and said, "What's the matter, Dr. Howes?" And I said, it's noon here, but it's 9 o'clock back in Hammond. And I said, I was just thinking how many little boys and girls are kneeling beside little beds right now saying, "Dear God, bless my preacher while he's gone, and bring him back safely."
I was thinking how many of my men who worked hard at the steel mill in the most undesirable conditions imaginable to work, and they've come home tired and weary of body, or bowing their heads and lifting their hearts to God, now saying, "God bless my preacher and bring him home safely."
I pray for my pastor many times a day. If I had a pastor, if I had a pastor, I'd defend him. I really would. I'd defend him. I'd stand for him. I'd defend him against attack and criticism. I'd defend him against people that curse him. I'd defend him. I really would. When I was in East Texas, just a kid preacher. I was a country preacher.
Still am.
Just live in cities all. I was a country preacher. I feel sorry for anybody that's never been a country preacher. Really. I really do. To me, there's nothing like it. I was a country preacher.
We had a fellow up in our neighborhood named Mr. Varner, J.M. Varner, V-A-R-N-E-R, ran a store. I mean, you can get anything there from a haircut to a sauna bath, or whatever it is. Anyway, they sold, and I'd drive up, and they had a fellow there named Dad Furr. Dad was 88. And here's the way Dad walked. By the way, Dad was the guy that waited on, had a service station out in front in an old-time country store, and Dad was the fellow who served the gas thing, you know. And he's the guy who put the gas in your car. And instead of a guy coming out and saying, "Put up, sir," here's where Dad walked.
You see what you want.
But I'd drive to old Varner's store, and Mr. Varner would say, "Hey, the preacher's here!"
And the folks would all come out and say,
"Hey, preacher!"
I was only 21, 22, and 23 years of age. I'd go in and he'd say,
"Preacher, get what you want!"
I'd go back behind the meat counter. We didn't have any pure foods law. We didn't have any pure food. I'd go back behind the meat counter, and I'd pull the doors open, grab the cheese, and get me a knife over here and slice me another cheese and throw the cheese back in there and eat a piece of cheese.
And after I got through the cheese, I'd get the same knife and reach in there, get the bologna out, and slice me some round steak. And I'd eat some bologna, and he'd say, "Hey, preacher, I just got some new sports shirts in. What color do you want?"
He'd give me a sports shirt, a pair of socks, never went up to the store. But didn't give me something. I went 10 or 12 times a day. And always. But you know, the thing about it is, the thing that always warmed my heart was when I'd drive up, they'd say, "Preacher." I was studying the Bible this week. Dr. Billings, I traced the word "master" in the Bible when Mary said, "Master, Rabboni," which is to say, "master." And was it Martha who said, "The Master is come and calleth for thee"? I traced the word "master," and the word "Rabboni" means more than master. It means my master, personal master. And when When Mary Magdalene said to the resurrected Christ, he said, Mary. And she said, Rabboni, which is the master. What she said was, my master. And I thought that was so sweet. But that's what those, when folks said, preacher! Hello, preacher! That means, hello, my preacher. That means he's the man of God that stands behind the pulpit and tries to help me. He's the man that weeps with me when my loved ones die and rejoices with me when the married weddings come. He's the man who counsels when I need counseling. He's the man who stands behind the pulpit and preaches. And they say, hello, preacher! I drive down the street. Hello, preacher! Hi, preacher! That's what my folks always call me in Texas. When I came up here to Indiana, I wanted somebody to call me preacher so bad. Oh, my, my, my. It was a piaster. These folks can't pronounce the word pastor. And this piaster, and call me up and say, is the piaster in? I'd say, who? He'd say, it's the piaster. I'd say, this is the pastor. And poor people, I'd have to teach them how to talk before I could preach to them. So they'd call me reverend. I never have liked the word reverend. They'd call me reverend. And the first Sunday after I preached, I wanted somebody to call me preacher so bad. I was so homesick, and I wanted somebody to call me preacher. And it had been reverend this and reverend that and piaster this and piaster that. So I went back to shake hands with the folks that morning, and the first old lady came out, and she looked to me like she must be from Arkansas. She had stooped shoulder. She had obviously had varicose veins because her legs were wrapped like you'd wrap pipes when the freeze was going to come down in Texas. She came out the door, and I said, this lady's from Arkansas. I can tell in Arkansas, either that or Kentucky, because I can tell. I said, she's going to say it for the Hiles or preacher is a good sermon. She walked out and looked up, and she said, that was a good sermon, Father. I thought I'd die. I thought I was in Lower Segovia or Outer Mongolia or somewhere. I wanted somebody to call me preacher so bad I could taste it. I'll be honest, I never get used to it. Now our people say, hi, preacher. Hi, pastor. Hi, Brother Hiles. Hi, preacher. I walk down the hall. Hello there, son. Hello, Brother Hiles. Hi, preacher. I never get used to it. Oh, I'd rather be a pastor of a Baptist church than anything I know in the world. God's people. May I say this in closing? You folks that don't know, you're not one of God's people. You're missing an awful lot. I mean, sure, you're going to hell if you don't get saved, and you're going to heaven if you do. That's one reason. Sure, your life is full and happy if you get saved, and it's wretched without peace if you don't. That's another reason. But if there's no other reason to become a Christian, you ought to just get in the family. It's such a wonderful crowd to live with, to know and to love and to fellowship with. The fellow who wrote the song, What a Fellowship, What a Joy Divine, he knows what he's talking about. You know, come on and join this holy band, on to glory go. Dwell in that celestial land where joy is immortal soul. I thought our people needed to know something about my feelings. How I thank God for all you've done, all you're doing. Those of you that are members of the church, you're not doing anything much for God. Get with it. How about you kids that are not soul winning? Huh? How about you deacons not soul winning? How about you deacons don't come to deacons meeting? How about you teachers not building a great class and working? How about you bus workers not doing the thing you ought to do for God? Huh? Get busy for God. Give it all you've got. I've said it before and I'll say it again. We don't have long to work. We don't have long to work. It won't be long. It won't be long. I walked to the pulpit last Monday night to speak. Florida. I thought about dear Dr. Stewart in a cell 4x6. I don't know how long it'll be before I'll be in a cell like that. I don't know how long it'll be before somebody's going to say, okay, you've been fighting this liquor traffic and dope traffic and hippie crowd long enough. You've been fighting the National Council of Churches long enough. And God pity you fellas that don't. But I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be until they're going to roll us out and say, okay, we can't, or we'll kill you. I don't know how long. I don't know how long it's going to be until our Lord's going to come and the trumpet of God shall sound And the archangel shall shout, and the dead shall rise, and the living shall be translated and caught up to meet the Lord. And I don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long it's going to be to this old heart of mine. I push myself, like most of you. I don't take days off, and I push myself. I preach 3.5 times a day. I never walk through the door tonight, and I walk through it. I said, "Dear God, this may be the last one. It may be." I don't know how long I have, but I know I have now. And I want to give it all I've got. God knows. God knows. I've prayed 1,000 times in the last week. Oh, God, give me strength for next week. Stir the preachers who are coming. Build a fire in the men who are coming. Help our church to stay on the job for God. And may we always be an example for this old sin-cursed country so churches can get the idea we can call a nation back to God. Don't know how long we have. Let's stay busy. I wouldn't trade you for anybody. One reason it works because I stay on you so much. Let's stay busy for God. Let's work, and let's work, and let's work, and let's work, and do our job. If tonight you're not saved, I wish you were. I wish I had time to just go up and down the rows of the church and tell you about these people. You know, if I weren't even saved, I'd want to join First Baptist Church. Fellow right here, C.W. Fisk. Walked in the church one about 12 years ago, a lost sinner. This fellow right here brought him. He was a deacon. Ron Perkey on our staff now was a deacon then. And C.W. Fisk was a lost sinner. We had a big day, big contest going on. And he brought him. And Mr. Fisk went out and said, "I don't like that preacher." "I don't like that preacher." Next Sunday he came back. He got saved that week. I asked him why he came back, and Mr. Fisk, sitting right here, he said, "Because that preacher put his hand in my hand and said, 'I love you.' That's why I came back." "I love you." He said, "Nobody outside my own life had ever said that to me. That preacher said, 'I love you.'" And those three words brought this man, one of the greatest soul winners in America, brought him to God through Christ. Ron Perkey here. You don't know the story behind all these people. I wish you did. Ron and Sarah grew up in our church, got saved here, had a little baby. The baby died. They had another baby. That baby died. Had another baby. It lived to be about 6 months old, and we noticed it in the balcony. Somebody said to me one time, several folks said, "I don't think their baby's normal." It wasn't long. They found out the baby wasn't normal. We made the third trip to Babyland and laid a precious little bundle of flesh in the grave. That's what kind of people we are here. This godly man here, Dr. Billings, works day and night. I mean day and night to try to help our kids. And I mean, just keep on going. But Dr. Beebe, one of the finest, well, he's the finest busman in America, and travels every week and stays up at night and travels at night and then runs the ministry here. John Colson going by to see the sick people and trying to bring cheer in folks' lives. I could just go down the line in the choir. I'm simply saying, if you're not saved, sure you ought to get saved so you can go to heaven. Sure you ought to get saved so you won't go to hell. Sure you ought to get saved because there's a victory in Jesus. Sure you ought to get saved because there's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. But there's one other good reason why you ought to get saved. Because the best crowd of folks in the world are God's people. You say, "Prove it!" Okay, I'm glad you said it. I will. You beer guzzlers. Hey, this little leap-in, lip-out joint, that joint down here on the corner. And you folks that hang out down there on Saturday night, when you get somehow out of food next time and Christmas comes, go ask them for a Christmas basket. Tell me you need a little hot toddy for Christmas. Need a little Seagram 7 tied you over you. Having a little tough time. Ask them for help. No, sir. That crowd walks inside the door of First Baptist Church and parks themselves and says, "Are you the pastor?" "Yes. Well, we're having a little hard time." Wonder why you come to God's people. You know why you come to God's people, because God spoke to the best folks in the world. That's why. Are you not saved tonight? Listen to me. You can be saved. You can join not only the happiest folks in the world, but you can join the sweetest fellowship under God's green heaven. God's green heaven. The heaven's blue, earth is green. But not get that right, Doc. But you can join the best fellowship in the world. How good it is. I think tonight, how good it is just to be a Christian. That's trite but true. Thank God. God's people. God's people. Saul went forth to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. And Jack Hiles went forth to preach around the country, and there went with him a band of people whose hearts God had touched. May it ever be so. May it ever be so. Let us pray. Thank you, dear Father, for the finest folk in the world. But may those of us who've been a little slack in our work for God and service for God get back in the harness and get busy. Bless those that know thee not tonight. May they come to know thee and become a part of this great fellowship of Christ, in Christ. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Let me ask you a question. Deacons, can I ask you a question? Sunday school teachers, may I ask you a question? Young people, may I ask you a question? Office holders in First Baptist Church, may I ask you a question? Bus workers, may I ask you a question? Are you doing your best?